because God gave them to us. My friends, the prayers we pray for them may not reap instantaneous results. But when I sat with my friend in the hospital, I understood the power of prayer. Because all he could say to me, the only words he said to me that morning was, the prayer that was prayed over us at 13 years old, he said, I believe that that prayer saved my life. When he got into the hospital over here at Brandon City, they washed their hands. They told his wife, listen, we'll prepare for his funeral. This tumor is too large. They reached out to a doctor, and the doctor said, we're going to try something. We're not sure if it will work. So his wife had to sign down sort of waivers, you know, if he died on the table and all of these things. But in the midst of it, he remembered a prayer prayed over him that this was not the end. Because God has something great. Young men, God bless you. Young ladies, God bless you. God bless you. May God pour His Spirit in your lives. And wherever you go, however far from Brampton you may go from your homes, may the blessings of God carry you, follow you, and flourish through you wherever you are in this life. God bless you, youngsters. Continue to grow in love and the faith.
We're going to, I believe, read.
We have a song.
We have a song. Oh, what a powerful song it is to, I am going to live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. Let's stand and sing that song to the glory of God. Seated. Our next lesson will be read for us. Our sermon text for today from 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10.
Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had yet not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray as we ask the Lord to speak to us through his word today. Lord, today your world is in flux. As many things, O God, are seemingly out of control. There are wars raging, O God, across the seas. There are so many lives, O God, that are perishing. There are many places, O God, today that are just a hotbed of conflict. Even in our own country, Canada, mighty God, there are so many, O God, who are feeling that life, O God, is out of control. Lord, the economies are unstable. But not just that, O Lord, there are many other things, O God, that are causing people worry and anxiety. Lord, today, even our youth, O God, are having a sense of unease because the future is so uncertain. So now, as we pause to reflect upon your word, cause us now to hear your voice. Cause us now, mighty God, to hear what you have to say to us. May we hear your call, and may our answer to your call be, "Speak, Lord, your servants are listening." Break now your word to us, so that the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts together, may they be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was ordained in 2004. I hope I have some. Oh, yes, it's working. I was ordained in 2004 at a place called Fairfield in Manchester. So Derek is from St. Elizabeth. So he would drive past Fairfield to go to his hometown in St. Elizabeth. And Fairfield, though, is what we would call deep rural, you know? It's not a place that a train runs through or any bus or anything like that. It's a deep rural place in Jamaica. It's one of those places that you have to get a bus to the town and then get a taxi to Fairfield. It's very deep rural, but one of the most beautiful places you could ever live. Quiet, serene, green and beautiful. Fresh air, fresh fruits, fresh food, and lovely people. I served at Fairfield for 4 years, and after 4 years, my denominational body thought, you know, this guy is living too peaceful a life. And they thought they are going to move me to Kingston. Now, those of you here who know anything about Jamaica know that Kingston is the busiest place in Jamaica. It is the fast-paced place where at every hour of the night there is traffic, much like parts of Toronto or parts of Ontario. It is very busy in Kingston. I was called to a place called Portmore, and Portmore was at that time, and probably still is, the fastest growing city in the English-speaking Caribbean. It's a little city on the outskirts of Kingston, and in Portmore, it's a dormitory community where people go out to work in Kingston in the mornings and they come over in the evenings. So it's a fast-growing metropolis. And here I was, a country boy, they would call me in the Moravian church, enjoying my country life, planting my corn and potatoes in Fairfield, enjoying my ministry there, growing in the community, and my superior said, "Oh, we're calling you to Kingston, we're calling you to Portmore." I got to Portmore, my friends, and right away life changed.
The church had asked me at the time to host a radio program that one of our ministers had started and had migrated to Ireland to teach in a college there. And that radio program was called Something Essential. It was called that way because it was not supposed to be a preaching program. It was not supposed to be anything highly Bible study-based, but it was supposed to be a program that you would invite big figures across Jamaica to interview them, and at the end of the show, I was supposed to ask them, so where do you see God in what you are doing? So I was, I spoke to people like the police commissioner, the minister of health, whatever was going on in the country, I would seek out those individuals and interview them. Little did I know, my sisters and brothers, was that through this program, I would be exposed to all the different media houses in Jamaica. And so very shortly I was invited to be on TV, on one of the TV stations, to interview with one of our guests who had a public affairs program in the night called The Susan Show. And my sisters and brothers, I became a star. I could not walk anywhere in Portmore. She had invited me to talk about marriage and how people can survive in marriages and so forth. And at the time, I was still a young man, knew nothing about marriage because I wasn't even married yet. And I went on there and spouted off some things, you know. And people heard that and said, oh God, this guy is the best thing since sliced bread. And I remember I was walking, everywhere I walked, people were coming over to me for autographs. Oh, we saw you on TV. What you said made so much sense. And I became a star. A few weeks after that TV program, one morning I turned up at my office and there were these two well-dressed guys in jacket suits and ties. They drove a luxurious motor car and they said, you know, we want to talk with you. They said, we saw you on TV a few weeks ago and we thought that, you know, your gifts, your potential is not being maximized. They said to me, we own one of the biggest multimedia companies in Jamaica, social media companies at the time, and they said, guess what, we can make you into a star that is bigger than anything you had ever seen. You only need to sign your name to this paper and we will make you into a star that is going to be world renowned. My friends, I sat behind my desk at the time and I said, what is this? I never came into ministry to be a star. I came into ministry to serve people. I love visiting the old ladies and having coffee with them. I love visiting the man on the farm, you know. That's why I miss my country life so much. I used to visit my members on their farms and I would sit and talk with them on their farms. And that was how I loved life. And these guys were now saying, guess what? We are going to put you on TV. We are going to make you into someone that you're going to fly on private jets, they said. And I sat there and I said, God, right away, I could hear very clearly God was saying to me, Jermaine, I didn't call you to be a private jet pastor. And I said to them, you know, young man, all of this seems so good and nice. They said, Pastor, guess what? We see the little old beat-up car you're driving out there. They said, guess what? We're gonna make sure that you drive in a limousine to go anywhere you want to go. And I said to them, you know, gentlemen, thank you so much for your interest. But I never came into this ministry to become popular. I became a pastor because I wanted to be used by God. I wanted to be an effective servant of God. All I wanted to be was an effective Christian for God. My friends, they left. And something told me that that was not the end of the story. Because about 6 weeks later,
a big thing broke in Jamaica. Some guys were arrested for a Ponzi scheme. And these same two men who sat in my office were the architect of the Cash Plus Ponzi scheme in the Caribbean that took away millions from people. And they would have promised people the sky and a house on the hill, and they would have swindled people out of their money. And these were the same guys who were sitting in my office promising me the world and everything. And these were the same guys I told, no, I'm not into the popularity thing. I just want to be an ordinary servant of God. You know, friends, ministry sometimes, serving God sometimes, can seem as if it is all about the lore and the luster, the being on TV, the flying around in private jets. Ministry sometimes can seem like that. But my sisters and brothers, God has not called us to be popular. God has called us to just be effective. Just be available, God is saying. All we need to be is available. And God can use our little availability to do much in this world where the message of redeeming grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is so much in need in hearts, in homes, in lives, in workplaces, in city hall, in hospitals. The gospel of Jesus, the good news of the gospel of Jesus, is in need everywhere. And all God needs is just some people to say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. That's all. You know, it's not about the people on TV. If you turn on your TV this morning, you're going to see some guys walking around with their tablets, with their headsets on like me, and they are going to have thousands of people in those arenas. My sisters and brothers, can I tell you that if you should ask them the names of 90% of those people, they don't know them. They don't know those people. You know, I served in Portmore. Portmore has about 12 or 13 mega churches. So I know the pastors well. I know them well. I sit with them in the minister's fraternal, and we would share coffee and lunch. Some of them would invite you to their homes and so forth and so on. And I remember talking with Delford Davis, one of the big mega church guys in Portmore, one day. And he said, you know, Jermaine, one of the things I envy about you guys with small churches is that at least you know your people. He said, I have all the bells and whistles, he says. I have people who can drive me home. I have people who can take my bag and walk with my bag. But even some of the people who work with me, who carry my water or my lunch, I do not know them. So my sisters and brothers, the lore of the big church and the lore of the big filled arenas sometimes will brighten our eyes, but serving God is much more than that. Serving God is understanding that somehow God wants to use us to let his glory be seen, to let his love be felt. God wants to use us to send forth his word into a world where people are dying, into a world where people are living in want, into a world where people are feeling empty. God wants to enter the world through us. Samuel was 12 years old. His mother Hannah could not have children. And God blessed Hannah's womb with Samuel. What a blessing it was. Because upon Samuel's birth, Hannah decided to give Samuel back to the Lord. And so she sent Samuel to serve at Eli's feet. Samuel would have learned some things from Eli, not some good things and some bad things. Samuel would have learned that, you know, Eli was not so much of an upstanding priest because he allowed his sons to get away with everything. But in the middle of the night, my sisters and brothers, Samuel heard a voice. He heard a voice, and that voice called his name. He thought it was Eli calling him as he used to call him, come here, boy, with my water. Come here with my pillow. Come here with so-and-so. He ran to Eli, and Eli said, I did not call you, boy. Go back and lie down. Two times this happened, and Eli discerned that the call was coming not from somewhere, not from within that temple, but from without. It was coming from God. And so he said to him, the next time you hear that voice, just answer in this way, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. At that time, my sisters and brothers, when the call of Samuel took place, there were some things that were happening in people's lives. The word of God was not yet popularized. The word of God and prophecies were not yet a thing of that day. God was searching for a way that he would enter into the world, and he chose to do so through the call of Samuel. God was searching for a way to enter people's hearts, because God understood that when people knew the word, when people heard the word, when people understood what the word of God meant, they would now understand that their lives were much more than the mundane things of the world, but their lives were now, because of God, through God, and would be lived by their reverence to God Almighty. You see, friends, when we come to understand why we are born, when we come to understand why God placed us on this in this world, when we come to understand why God had placed us in this church, that solves a big piece of the puzzle for us. Because a lot of us are asking, God, why am I here at St. Paul's? Why am I here? Why am I here in this empty church? You think your church is empty? Go over to some of the other Presbyterian churches. Go to a church downtown. I don't know the address, but go down there, 7 and 8 people, and at least we come here, and when we come here, when we come here on Christmas Eve, and when we come on Easter Sunday, we're going to see people fill these pews, because there is something about our congregation that we have been allowing God to enter people's lives through us over these 70 or so years, and that has not been lost, my sisters and brothers. So why has God called us here this morning? Why has God placed us in this congregation? It's not by chance, my sisters and brothers. No, not one of us are here because God has called us to be a church member. Can I say that again? Not one of us are here because God has called us to be a church member. We are more than church members. God has called us to be servants. God has called us to be people whom God will make his name known through us. Whether it be that you impact one individual, or 2 individuals, or 3, or 4, or 10, or 50, God has called you so that God may make his word known through us. So that God can enter this world through us. So that God can enter lives. Through the message of grace that we will share with others. We are not called to be church members. It's a mistake that we make, that Pastor Germain and Reverend Barb are the ones that are called to serve God. It's a mistake. It's a mistake that we make, that the elders, that it's Lee and Bev and Anne and Julie that are called to do the work. No, my sisters and brothers, every single one of us are called to do the work of God. Every single one of us have come here this morning because we believe that God is here. And if we have come knowing that God is here, then God can make his name known through you. No matter where you go this week, or this, or next week, or the week after, God can make his name known through you. You know, probably we need to realize sometimes, and you know, this might sound funny, but
Sometimes pastors retiring or resigning is not a bad thing.
You know what? I got an epiphany about 15 years ago, because that same church, Fairfield, that I was moved away from, the people, when I was leaving, they had a big service, a big farewell service for me in that community. My friends, that church holds about 800 people, and that church, that they had to put up tents outside to hold people, because the entire community turned out. The three churches I served in that community came. And I heard a lot of the elderly ladies, Joyce, holding my hand and say, "Jermaine, you're gone. And I know that this church is never going to be the same, because you did so much work here in these 4 years." You know what, friends? When I left, the church got better. Can I tell you? When I left and went to Portmore, I was doing good work in Portmore, mind you, because when I got to Portmore, that church too was laying in the ashes, you know? They were laying in the ashes. People were coming. They never knew the nearest neighbors. And we started to hit the road and build that church. We added about 250 members to that church in 5 years. The work was going on in Portmore. But the lie that the devil tells sometimes, that when a leader leaves, that the church is going to fall apart, is a lie that sometimes we allow to flourish too much. I'm not saying that leaders aren't good, but here's what I'm saying, my sisters and brothers, that sometimes leaders will leave churches, but somehow God will find a way to use the you that is left. God will find a way to use the people that are left to let his grace go forth still. And this church will flourish not because of any good leader that have come, and you have had some good leaders. But this church will flourish because of the work that God will do through you. You, the people who will be here today, tomorrow, next year, and the years to come. So when we find a pastor, we are not finding that pastor to come and do all the work. We are not finding that pastor to come and to work miracles. You know, one guy said to me when I was called to Kenora, "You know, Jermaine, we have called you here to do one thing, to make sure that this church is full, but make sure you don't change one thing while you do it." I remember